And hello, everybody. Welcome to Section 314 Podcast. My name is Sam, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Maggie. And we are finally ready to break down the Winter Classic, the event itself, the game, the weather, the trip, and all the stories that go along with it. And we just wanted to bring you all on as our, you know, our special guest, just to talk about, you know, this special event, you know, that is one of the most anticipated events in sports every single year. And to, you know, finally get, you know, a first person point of view of, you know, what goes on and what it's like, you know, going to one of these events. So are you ready to get started, Maggie?
Let's do it.
So I guess we could just like, I guess the best way to do this is just go around in the circle and just kind of talk about, you know, your story and, you know, what it was like, you know, making your trip there, or if you live in Chicago, you know, getting to Wrigley and seeing, you know, these out of town fans, and just kind of what it's like to host this event in your town and city. So Karen, why don't you go ahead and start and just tell us your story about any, you know, the drive up there, or any cool restaurants, events, stories, best food you had, maybe something that was like the best part or the worst part of the Winter Classic. Why don't you go ahead and start for us?
Okay. We made the drive from St. Louis. I live a little outside St. Louis. And so we drove up night before. It's about a 4.5 hour drive, pretty uneventful. But we got to the hotel. We stayed near Loyola. So we were kind of right off of Lakeshore Drive. And so everything was great till you hit Lakeshore Drive and then all that traffic, but it was good. First thing we set out to do was find some Chicago pizza. So there was a Giordano within a couple blocks, so we could walk there easily.
Of course.
So that was cool. We were the only ones in there for a little while, and then a whole bunch of Blues fans walked in. So that was kind of cool that there were obviously Blues fans in the area. The next day for me, I went with my husband. And so, but for us, the rain really kind of dampened the day, literally and figuratively for us. Like, we just didn't stand out in the rain all morning and then try to be comfortable at a cold game in the afternoon.
Definitely saw like women walking around, or like in like yoga pants, or dudes walking around in jeans, like just jeans or like just yoga pants. I'm like, that is not going to cut it.
Yeah, no. And we were very prepared. We had like ski pants on and we were prepared for the weather, but not necessarily like to be wet all day, you know, like that just wasn't going to cut it for us. So we actually didn't show up to the Wrigley area until a little bit before 2 o'clock when they were going to open the gates. And then we walked around. I thought Wrigley has never looked better from the outside. I liked all the banners that they had up. They had Blues banners and Blackhawks banners, and then just Winter Classic banners. And I thought that looked really cool. I thought it made the whole area look really nice. And like I said, all the people trying to get that iconic picture by the sign up front. And we did walk around a little bit in the rain, and then finally I'm like, let's just go in because we can stay out of the rain.
For Chris and Joe, is that like a popular thing, like baseball games, or, you know, I guess the Winter Classic is like everybody's got to get a picture with that sign, you know, out there behind home plate?
Yeah, you saw it was like everybody was just taking pictures by the marquee. And yeah, I mean, usually, especially for the out of town fans, that's one of the things that, you know, they love to do. And there's people that will actually sit there and like have a little tip thing out. And I saw a couple people with that to like, hey, if you want me to take your picture, and then, you know, you take the picture and then you like, you know, they hold out the little tip jar for you to tip them. So credit to those people. But it's like, yeah, it's crazy how many people were out there and trying to get pictures by that.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Karen.
Well, we did see that. I was like, no, we're good. We got our picture. We're good. But then when we went in, the first thing I noticed was the big plastic hockey sticks that they were filling beers in.
Well, those are everywhere.
And I had never seen those before until this year when we were in Philly. We went to a Blues game in Philly, and that's the first time I'd seen them. The baseball bats I see at lots of stadiums, and I've got a ton of them, but the hockey sticks, Philly was a new thing for me.
new this year for us.
So that was cool that they had those. And so I had to get one of those right away because I was afraid those would sell out. Because I'm like, how many of these Wrigley Field hockey sticks, you know,
did they What were they, like $20?
Well, like 40.
Mm.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh my gosh.
40. But I missed an opportunity because then we stood out on the concourse for a while because we didn't want to be just in the rain. We were just kind of people watching, and so many people were like, where'd you get that? Where'd you get that? And I'm sending them right on over to the stand. And I was like, I missed an opportunity for commissions here. Seriously.
Right.
But yeah, so the main concourse was just a disaster right there behind home plate. I mean, it was just wall to wall people. The men's bathroom and the women's bathroom were out of order. So people were just bottlenecked everywhere.
My girlfriend went to the bathroom like as soon as we got into the stadium, like I don't know, like little after 2:30, and she came out and she was like, they're having like sewage problems in the women's bathroom there. And then my aunt, she went to the bathroom like before the game started, like I guess closer to like the players coming out for warm-ups, and she came out of the bathroom and she was like, all the lights were off in the women's bathroom. It was like a different bathroom, but she was like, all the lights are off in the women's bathroom. I'm like, dude, what is this place is falling apart.
So, yeah, I am not a fan of Wrigley Field bathrooms. I mean, this isn't my first time to Wrigley Field, but yeah, that's just one of the things I don't like about Wrigley Field. So I was sure I was going to drink my beer bat or beer stick. And then that was pretty much going to be it because I did not want to have to even try to go to the bathroom. But then I thought the crowd was amazing. The Blues fans and the Blackhawks fans were loud. I loved that we were doing the counting, you know, the towel man thing was happening all over in many sections that was happening. I thought that was cool. And obviously the score was my favorite thing, but it was good. The weather was good. We were under the overhang. We were in section 220.
Oh, that's where I was. I was in 220. Oh my gosh, small world.
So we were in 220 and we were under the overhang, not up too far. The overhang drove me crazy.
Yeah. That kept us dry. That probably helped a lot.
Yeah. And I think it blocked some of the wind too, just being kind of in that area.
Yeah. It's like you were in your seats and there was no wind, but then you went up to like the top of the section, like where you go, you know, the walkway to like go to the bathrooms or whatever. There's all kinds of wind.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just kind of stayed in my seat the whole time, you know, a lot of standing, a lot of sitting and standing and standing, but it was good. I thought the crowd was great. I thoroughly had a good time. So
I read after the game that the Blues decided that the towel man was out with an upper body injury from throwing towels. And I'd read today also that he will be back for the game tomorrow night against Ottawa Senators. So glad to have him back.
Oh, yeah. Thank Jesus.
I didn't think he was actually there though, right? Like he didn't make the trip or did he?
He did.
He was there.
He was,
yeah,
if
he
you
was
look,
there.
So in 220, if you look to your right, he was over there like a couple more sections.
Okay.
Yeah, he was on TV a lot.
All right.
So.
I couldn't find him and I haven't rewatched the game yet. And
I think he was outside of like 226 or 227 because okay. From where I was in 310. And like I heard, you know, when the Blues scored, when they were counting, and I'm like, is Towel Man here? And then I look down and sure enough, I see a guy like waving a towel. And, you know, after the Blues scored, you know, hearing all the Blues fans count, and I'm like, oh, my God, like really add insult to our injuries. And we got to have Towel Man here, too.
Yeah.
So but it was good for the Blues fans that traveled. I'm sure they were probably just as surprised.
Well, a lot of people were like standing up trying to do like their own version of the towel man because I don't know if they knew he was there because nobody knew like where to look for him, you know, like it.
People even do that at the Blues games now, like he goes to every game, but you still see people like try and reenact it. I'm like, he's literally right there.
Right. Because you could hear people counting and then people from our season ticket holder group that were back in St. Louis. They're like, is the towel man there? Because we heard counting on TV. We definitely heard counting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, loud enough.
Yep.
Yeah, he was there.
Did you have anything else to add before we move on to Matt?
No, let somebody else talk. We're good.
Yeah, so Matt, let's hear your story, man. What's some good things you got going on for you during this trip?
Yeah, so it was my wife, my son, and I, and we kind of carpooled with our neighbors, their season ticket holders, and their daughters as well. So, like, it was kind of like a caravan up from the St. Louis area. We stayed about a mile south of Wrigley, at a hotel called The Willows, which was kind of a cool little hotel. But what was great about it was, and I'm going to remember this for future trips up there, like the parking garage, it was only like $25 a day, like right next to the hotel. So, like, we were able to park there. It's right next to the hotel. Don't have to worry about parking the whole time. And then there's a ton of stuff between the hotel and Wrigley, right? There's like bars every 10 feet, pretty much, it feels like. So we get up there and we basically just bar hopped the first day, which was, I guess, Monday, because we got up there at like 10:30, 10:45 in the morning. We left early. But yeah, so we, parked and then just basically spent the entire lunch all through like 6 o'clock just bar hopping and drinking and talking to Blackhawks fans and other Blues fans.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. It's get your way around for new places, new drinks, new people.
Yeah, so that was cool. We went to three places that day. And what's funny about it is, I'll talk about the places a little bit, but I think we went back to the hotel by like 6:30 because we were all like just done. Like, we had been drinking for like 6 hours or whatever already. And so, like, but we went to three places. We went to a Jake's pub. We went to a like a Murphy's, and then we went to this place that is called like Caesar's Killer Margaritas, and they were killer. They were awesome.
Chris and Joe, any of these places ring a bell, or like,
Nah,
are they
not for
good, or?
me. Yeah, I'm a suburbanite, so I don't get downtown as much. So I mean, I know the area around like Wrigley a little bit, but as far as like city bars, I'm kind of like, hey, this is news to me. I'll jot them down. If I'm down there, I'll go. So,
Caesar's is famous. Like Caesar's is everyone knows Caesar's and their giant margaritas. So
oh
like
wow.
that's a pretty big one. Murphy's is a Cubs bar. I
Hey.
don't know Jake's, but yeah, like I'm not a big drinker, but Murphy's, Murphy's. I assume Murphy's Bleachers is what it was. So
Murphy's Bleachers, yeah.
the Murphy's we went to was actually like me Monsieur Murphy's, which was, yeah, different.
Then
I
I
know the
don't know
Murphy's
that
you're
at all.
talking about.
But yeah, like I mean, Clark is known for its bars. Like that's Clark from Irving Park south to Belmont and just a little bit further south towards like Lakeview. That's basically like that's where tourists go to drink.
Yeah, these
Yeah.
margaritas are big. I just Googled them.
Yeah, we definitely went there to drink. It was great. It was basically just, an afternoon of, buying credits on the Touch Tunes, app for every bar, playing music we liked. And then as people came in and out, like, are they Blackhawks fans? Are they Blues fans? And it was fun because, like, it's like when you see a Blackhawks fan, you expect to talk trash and they expect you to talk trash. Like,
Right, you
it's a
just know the
cool
tension's
dynamic.
there.
Yeah, it's a cool dynamic. Like, it, like, and that only comes with it being a rivalry. Like, I can't, like, go to Boston, or I guess I can't go to, like, Florida and talk trash to a Florida fan. They're gonna, like, take offense to it. Blackhawks fans
Yeah.
just go with it, right?
Yeah.
I just did that actually 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
I'm
Maggie
from
was went to
Florida.
the went to the Blues Panthers game in Sunrise. Go ahead, Maggie.
Yeah, and they lost 2-1, but the Panthers fans, I think they just all became fans in June of 2024, so they're pretty new fans, and I don't think they really know the rules, but I don't have to go back down to Sunrise again because they were not nice, and I felt like I was the only one in a Blues jersey. I did not feel welcomed at all, so.
Really, that's surprising to me, Maggie, because I feel like, especially, I know Blackhawks fans travel well, but I feel like Blues fans travel well too, and especially to like those areas of like Sunrise and Tampa Bay. I feel like, those are prime destinations for, especially like when the Blues and Blackhawks play there in the wintertime, that their fans tend to invade those arenas.
Yeah, But they just won a cup, so they got all the like new fans that just like it's same thing that happened with us in 2010.
And the same thing that happened with like Avs fans, you know, like in 22 or whatever it was.
Like, I was gonna say, I don't think the Blues went through this same thing. Like the you see on Twitter all these guys are tweeting like blue collar hockey, sack hockey, you know, like I think everybody in St. Louis has always been a St. Louis Blues fan. And it did bring new fans, but you couldn't tell. I feel like everybody is just a true St. Louis fan. And when I was in Sunrise, there were so many people around me who still did not know the rules of hockey or like even players on the team. And I'm like, what? Why are you here? So.
Will you call me next time you're going to a game? I'll fly down and go with you.
Tampa's a great stadium, but I also think a lot of it has to do with just the environment. Like Chicago, we went through the years of like dollar bill, right? So like we didn't get to watch our team. So a lot of people were like Wolves fans, or in my case, I was a Buffalo Sabres fan because I love Dominic Hasek. Florida didn't have anyone. You guys have always had a full crowd. Like the Blue Stadium is almost always full. Mm-hmm. Whereas Florida, like it used to be a joke. You'd go down to like, you'd watch your team play in Florida and like, it was like 90% your team's fans because no one cared about Florida.
That's what they said.
But anyways, man, go back to what you were saying about like, you know, the rivalry and the fans you encounter, you know, bar hopping and stuff like that.
Yeah, so that day was bar hopping, hanging out with Blues and Blackhawks fans. Went to bed early because we drank some killer margaritas. And then, so we woke up the day of the game and went to a diner really close to the hotel called Stella's Diner, which was really good. Saw Blackhawks fans there, saw Blues fans there. And then I saw on Twitter that the Spittin' Chicklets podcast was going to be at Sluggers at 12:30.
Yeah, I went there the night before the game, actually. Pretty cool place.
Yeah, so we Ubered down there instead of walked to get to Sluggers early. So we got to Sluggers at 11:30. Which was like, it felt like 5 minutes before everybody got there. So we got a table. And so there was whatever, six or seven of us had our own table. That place just filled up like crazy right after we got there. The Chicklets guys, like, I think it was just Ryan Whitney was there. And then some of their producers maybe, I don't know. But he was there doing meet and greet type stuff, giving out free shots. It was just a really fun time. Like Sluggers did not disappoint. The service was super slow, but they also had a million people in there. So
yeah, so that's expected. Yeah, for an event like this, yeah.
Yeah, so but we drank in there all day, guys. I mean, so we got there at 11:30 and we kept order, and the service was slow, so we're like, just bring two of everything every time you come. And so they started bringing two of everything. What was really cool is, so our neighbor's daughters didn't have game tickets. They just came up to hang out and drink. And so, like, they were so awesome. They would hold our table, and, like, we went to Fan Fest for a while. And so, you know, there's a line around the block of people trying to get in. So they held our table for us, which was really cool. But I went to the Fan Fest thing, which teen, right? So he wants to do that kind of stuff. But
yeah, of course, yeah.
It's, you know, for a kid, it's great. But for the most part, it was like, okay, a bunch of sponsored vendors with shoot the puck, like with long lines. And so, you know, for us, it was like, okay, I let him go to a shorter line, and we, you know, he played a little bit there. It ended up being a good, like, I think they did it really good. I think there was, you know, plenty of different things to do, but it's one of those things that, like, even my son was like, I'm not sure if I would go to back, you know, go back to that, just because it was also like a quarter mile away from the stadium too.
Yeah, so it was a couple blocks at least, I think.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a walk. Well, in the and rain and the cold, it felt like
right. And for those that you don't know, where if you're going up to Chicago for like a Cubs Cardinals game is at Wrigley, Sluggers is like right across the street. And on the second floor, it's kind of hidden, but on the second floor, they have batting cages there. So you can, you know, hit balls while you're there and, you know, having a beer.
I did not know that.
Sluggers is a good place.
Sluggers is also, they get a lot of good concerts. Like Dave Grohl has a story about like one of his first concerts that got him into drumming was going to see, like, I think it was the Misfits or something at Sluggers. So it's kind of got this air of like everything.
That's cool.
So yeah, Sluggers was good. But there was seven of us, but six of us were drinking, and we, like I said, drank there for, I think it was basically 11:30 to 3, and the bill was unbelievable. It was one of those that, like, I was like, all right, I'm getting the drink tab, and I saw it and I was like, ouch. Yeah,
it was like the Boston Bruins like Stanley Cup final celebration tab.
Exactly. It was like, I mean, I paid for bills before in my day, but like, I think, but the fact that we didn't get any food and it was like, you know, $500, it was just like, holy crap. Like that's a tab. yeah. So
that's awesome.
Then we went into the game. We went into Wrigley. Well, we got pictures like you were saying, like everybody wants to get a picture. So we got a group photo there and then went in. The very first thing I noticed is how many Blues fans. Like, I did not expect to see these big groups of blue jerseys walking around, and in the concourse, like, there was a ton of Blues fans. And I told my wife, I was like, I think it's like, you know, going to be, you know, 30% Blues fans. It felt like that much. I was like, this is going to be a really cool game. If, you know, it's going to be a cool game no matter what, but like, if we win this thing, it's going to be epic with how many Blues fans came. But yeah, we sat in 330 and 430, which is right field. And the other,
so kind of like right behind the net.
Yes, exactly. We were behind the Blues defend net. So they defended that net twice. Yes, I'm saying that right. But I'll tell you what. So just to kind of go a backstory here about me and Winter Classics, this is my first Winter Classic, and I've always despised the Winter Classic from an in-game experience. Like, I've always talked that bad about it because, to me, like, early on, I'm like, okay, you're putting the hockey rink in the middle of the field. The fans are nowhere near the rink. Like, it just seems like, it just always seemed like a money grab and a made-for-TV event. So when I saw high ticket prices, I was like, anyways, I would talk bad about Winter Classics. But I will say this. The seats we had, I mean, they were just like my seats at Enterprise. Like, they were behind the goal. And I was up high enough, like the 300 level and the 400 level, we had actually a perfect view down the ice the entire time. I never had I never had to look at the video board, but I'd be curious, you guys were down low, so I'd be curious what your visual was like. Did you find yourself having to look at the video board?
I mean, Karen and I were in 220, but I was in like the last row of the section. Like, I could see the ice. I could see plays developing. I could see where the puck was. I could see the puck like everywhere on the ice. But it felt like you were a million miles away from where I was. I couldn't see, even if I like looked, like tucked myself down or like kind of squatted down, I couldn't see any of the video boards. But like, I was like, you know, this is my third Winter Classic. You know, I've had impeccable views from the other two. You know, center ice up high, basically. And then in 2022, I was like the first row of like the upper deck, so I could see everything. Totally fine. And then this one, I felt like I was far away, but I could still see everything. But I was like, you know what? I'm just happy to be there. What about you, Karen?
I felt the same way at first. It just feels like you're far away. I liked our view. But once I thought, I'm going to just be watching the big screen this whole time. But then you just got used to it. And it was pretty easy to follow. But I will tell you again, and I just, I'm not a big Wrigley Field fan. And I've been to all the MLB stadiums. So I know what I'm talking about a little bit. That's the thing, is if you're under that overhang, and that's, I mean, usually when you buy tickets in the 200s, those are good seats for baseball. But at Wrigley Field, any pop-ups, you don't even know where the ball went. Like, you can't even see it.
Right.
And you can't see the big screen. So but we were down a little further than that. We were maybe eight rows up in that.
Yes. Section. So being in that front row, like, you know, or like just being up top and being able to see anything right behind the net, like that was for your first Winter Classic. Like, that's, you couldn't ask for anything better than that, really.
Yeah.
Karen, have you been to Fenway? Is it similar?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. That's what I haven't been to Fenway, so I don't know what it is compared to Wrigley.
Yeah.
So.
It's very similar. You know, they both are just, they're old. They're just old buildings.
Yeah. I didn't know if Fenway had the overhang too, where
it does. It has the overhang, and it feels kind of low actually if you get way up there underneath it. It feels a little low. And same thing with like the outside of the park before the games is fantastic. When you get in there, you're kind of like, oh my gosh, I don't want to sit behind this pole and there's something blocking this view. And I don't know if anybody had trouble with that during this hockey thing, because that's a whole, I mean, it's a lot different watching a hockey rink in the middle of a baseball field than watching a baseball game on a baseball field.
So Matt, since you were up top, like behind the net, like it was kind of raining a little bit, like sprinkling. It wasn't like terrible, but it was like sprinkling like before the game. Like how long, like was that like a problem for you? Like did it make it even like colder for you? Or like how long did that really last till it kind of stopped? Because I was in a place where, you know, it was hard to see the rain throughout the game.
Yeah, it did not bother us one bit. So first of all, I could barely feel anything because I had been drinking from 11:30 to 3. So
oh, you're good then. You're good.
The day before.
I was feeling incredible at that point, right? So like the rain and plus, okay, so like, you know, if you don't prepare to bundle up and layer, you're just dumb. Like we had prepared and we had layers and layers on. And so other than like my nose getting cold, it was fine up there. It was absolutely fine. I think I found myself shivering a little bit like mid third period, but I hadn't gotten up in a while. Like the Blues hadn't scored in a little while, which was crazy. Like, and so, yeah, I will say this is really unique, but like, I actually think the amount of goals the Blues scored helped me stay like somewhat warm, because I was jumping up, running back and down the, you know, high-fiving mother Blues fans, and like the energy level stayed up. And so it was just, I just thought that was a unique, you know, thought when I got back home. Like I seriously thought if I was a Blackhawks fan, I was colder in those seats than the Blues fans were.
Oh, right. Can you guys let us know if you were cold?
I was fine. But then again, I was wearing shorts, so I'm a weird one.
Oh my God.
Lord.
it definitely like, the beginning our seats were wet, but other than that it was like fine. Like we were at right at the cusp of the overhang, so we were under the overhang, but because we were so close to the edge of it, like the wind would blow the rain in a little bit, but like we were on the opposite side of you. We were in 203, so we were at the Blackhawks defend net, and
so third baseline.
Yeah, and like it was good. Like we could see the smaller screen, but like the big screen, we couldn't see at all. And there was a little bit of blockage, like not really blockage. It was just hard to see the far net, the Blues net, just because it was all the way down on the opposite side. But
yeah, I mean, I was going to ask you, I'm really curious, what was your ticket purchasing experience like for Winter Classic as a Blackhawks fan? Did you guys have access to any seat, or was it a certain sections?
So I just got a code, and what was available from that presale code is what I was. Like, there's definitely different sections. Like, I could have sat in 200s, but, like, I knew Wrigley well enough to know that, like, the 300s were going to be really far, and the 100s, you just weren't going to see anything. So I wanted to kind of stick in that 200s. And from a cost perspective, we just chose that end because I don't think there was a lot of extra value, because it was, like, $500 a ticket or whatever to be center ice. And it was just like, this is my second one. Like the Notre Dame one was my first one. And that one was definitely from sight lines and everything. The football stadium definitely was a little bit better.
So yeah, when you purchased the tickets, you just got a code. Are you a Blackhawks season ticket holder?
No, I don't make enough money.
Oh, okay. So you just got part of it. Okay. Blackhawks. I was curious.
None of us.
We've had a losing record for 5 years, and they've raised the prices 5 years in a row. Like, it's ridiculous. It's like we've been riding on those three cups for 15 years now.
Yeah, I totally feel that. Yeah, my ticket. All the organizations out there, they will absolutely do whatever they can to, you know.
And plus, we don't get a lot of. We don't get some of the cool benefits. Like we get. They after COVID, they canceled like the Christmas party that we used to have, where you could get like, if you're a season ticket holder, you could get like free stuff like sticks and stuff. Like even like this year, the garage sale. They opened like 2 hours early for season ticket holders, and then everyone else could go. It was just, so it's kind of like, what am I getting to pay all this extra money? Especially because since we have a losing team, you're going to lose money. You can't sell your extra tickets for cost.
So there's no bang for your buck at this point.
No.
Yeah, the Blues, like, that's one of my gripes about being a season ticket holder with the Blues is, like, definitely kind of, like, I definitely get nickel and dimed. Like, I don't know. I also feel like as a season ticket holder, like, they always ask at the end of the year survey, like, what would you like to see, like, better? And it's like, I give actually, like, good, concrete answers. Like, you know, if you're a season ticket holder, maybe you should get, like, a souvenir cup that you can refill during the game instead of paying $10 of soda every single game, right? Like, just little, like, practical things. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't sound like
I'm in a group with there's 10 of us. We have 10 season tickets every game. And they, at the end of the season, when they won the cup, you know, they gave everybody a replica ring. We got one. Yeah. There's 10 seats. There's 10. Obviously, there's more than one.
Dude.
You know, like, that's the kind of stuff that drives me nuts, because I'm like, okay, so really it'd be better if all 10 of us separately owned one seat.
Yeah. It gets me thinking for, like, because, like, for, like, the longest time, like, you know, ever since I could drive a car, I would go to at least, like, my family's, like, I'm a diehard Blues fan. And if I had the money, I'd be a full-time season ticket holder. And, you know, and at the time, like, going through high school, getting my driver's license, you know, becoming, you know, older and becoming an actual adult with a real job, I would at least go to, like, at least go to 10, 12 regular season games plus however many playoff games we had at the time. And then it finally kind of came down to, like, you know what, like, I just need to do it, just punch the ticket and become a season ticket holder. And then I moved out of town for work, and then I was just like, oh, well, dang it. But then now hearing these stories, I'm like, you know, it seems like these organizations are getting more and more greedy with, you know, having all these people spend the money, but then you're slowly taking away the benefits and the things that could come with it as a season ticket holder. And it's just like, that's crappy.
There's a part of me that misses before 2010. You used to be able to get like $5 tickets for the 300s at the United Center. And they were like, you know, college kid or student ticket discount.
Yeah, Chris, I remember that too. It was, I remember it was like right before, you know, it was obviously before they drafted Taves and Kane. And
yeah.
It was the year after the lockout. And you showed a college or a high school ID, you would, and all the 300 level seats at that point, I think most were $15. You showed a student ID, you got in for $8. And my buddy and I went to at least almost half the games that year because we split the parking. The parking was $20 at the time. So we got in and, you know, parked and a ticket to the game for under $20. It was, even though the product on the ice was terrible, but we saw hockey for $18.
Yeah, it made you want to be
$18. Right, right.
Whereas now, like, you, I mean, I go to, like, a couple games a year because it's just so expensive.
Same.
Because you know, you're paying, you know, 300s are over $100 face value. You're going to pay like, it's like, I think it's up to $40 for parking now almost. And then like concessions, you know, those beer hockey sticks, like I said earlier, they were introduced this year. And they're even at the United Center, they're like $30. It's like, it's cool. And I understand why you bought it being for Winter Classic, but that it just gets so expensive.
Right. That should be a refillable.
Well, and that's why I think a lot of Blackhawks fans too went down to, you know, would go down to St. Louis because it was so much cheaper to watch the Hawks in St. Louis than it was in Chicago.
Yeah.
I think they have the refillable popcorn at the game though, don't they? Or did they get rid of that?
I don't know.
Not for the Blackhawks, no. I know. So
I
maybe I am dreaming.
I just don't know. I'm not telling you. You're wrong.
AMC Theaters does it.
I know what you're talking about. I think you pay for a bigger bucket. Yeah, I don't think refillable popcorn exists anymore there. I don't think nothing but like the soda.
Matt, did you have anything else to add about the Winter Classic before we move on to the host of the game?
Yeah, I just want to say I was kind of talking about how I, you know, talked crap on Winter Classics in game experience, but I actually came away from there. And yes, I understand it helps the Blues won, and we, you know, the Blues fans had a lot of fun. But I thought the entire event was put on, like the production quality was incredible. Like I'm not even like really a Smashing Pumpkins fan, but I really love how the players walked out while they were rocking out, you know, like for I thought the guy that does the national anthem, I could not listen to that on every home game if I was a Blackhawks fan, but
couldn't hear him because everybody was screaming. I'm like, dude, I want to hear this guy sing.
Where we were sitting, the sound system was horrible. Like,
it was great for us. Actually, maybe you guys didn't hear this, but surely you know that they piped the ice through the speaker system, yes, which yes. was awesome.
I could hear it sometimes. Like, sometimes.
Oh my gosh, that was like, I had never experienced audio from that far away, like that intricate audio like that in a stadium. And I thought that was one of the coolest things, that I could hear some of the, I could hear the puck. I could hear the, a lot of times it was just hearing the blades of the skate on the ice. It sounded really cool.
Which is cool, because it's like it brings you back to like being in an actual hockey rink where you're right.
Yes, and I thought that was like a detail that I definitely noticed it. I heard nobody in like our group of friends mention it, you know, and I thought like whoever thought of that, maybe it's just normal to do that, but I thought it was really cool. It made for an even better experience. Like, but yeah.
Now, did all you guys take the L at the end of the game to like?
Leave? Oh no. No.
Okay, because that
you talking about cluster. The train?
Yeah, the red line after the game. Like
we were heading towards Howard. We were going the other direction.
Oh yeah, so it was easy, but like everybody
was heading back
south, and there was trains only coming like every 10 minutes, and like the platforms were just jammed with. I mean, luckily we got through fairly quickly. For others, I mean, like I could tell behind me, like people were like getting ready to fight each other. Like I heard so many profanities and people like, you know, upset Blackhawks fans and Blues fans, you know, giving them crap. And I'm like, I'm just waiting for somebody to like tumble down these stairs. And you know, so, but yeah. It was like, it was really bad at the end.
The platform, they wouldn't let us up on the platform. We had to wee.
Yeah.
And then that's when somebody yelled like, St. Louis sucks. And then we were all like, yet here we are.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm just like sitting there. I'm like, okay, here's where a fight's going to break out. So,
yeah. I know. Yeah. I was worried about that too, because there were too many people around like for me to get out of there. It was just crazy.
So that was like, that was my one negative about it, was like, how did you not have like, you should have had train after train after train, like 2 minutes, like after one left, you should have had another one right behind it. So.
Yeah. Any more final thoughts, Matt?
Well, we didn't have to take the train. We just walked back to the hotel, and because we knew it was pointless to get an Uber down in that area. There was no way an Uber was going.
You didn't want
to
pay $500 again for an Uber.
Yeah. And then we just walked back to the hotel, and then spent New Year's Eve. We actually went to a place called Durno's, which was a Penn State bar, and Penn State was on TV. So it was kind of cool. We finished the night at that bar. Didn't even make it to midnight. We made it to midnight Eastern time and then like passed out.
Right on.
But yeah, final thoughts were I thought it was great. I thought even if the Blues wouldn't have won, I would have had a good time. I thought Chicago really kind of came. It was a great event. Leaving, coming back this way, we went to, seems like everybody stopped at Wally's in Pontiac. Because we stopped there, and it was all Blues fans like that took over the Wally's gas station. It was kind of funny. So
Wally's is nice.
Yeah,
Wally's is nice.
Sweet. So
yeah, so that's all I had.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. So the Blues won 6-2. The Blackhawks outshot the Blues by 2 shots, 30-28. The Blues went 2-for-3 on their power play, and only for the Blackhawks, only Bertuzzi and Hall scored, and so. You know, the next Blues-Blackhawks matchup is Saturday, February 8th. It's a home game for the Blues, so it'll be in St. Louis. And in, I think for both teams, it'll be their last game right before the All-Star break. So, Chris, like, what was your, you know, I think this is like the second time the Blackhawks have hosted the Winter Classic. So what was, correct me if I'm wrong, at least at Wrigley. Yeah. So, you know, what was it like, you know, coming here and hosting, you know, St. Louis, and just your experience, and like compared to like the other time that they hosted, or you know, if it was better or worse, or you know, anything like that. Like, go ahead, let's hear what you got from Chicago's perspective.
So my experience is probably completely different than everyone because we live literally a 10-minute bus ride from like there. So we ended up leaving at like 12:30. We were just like, whatever, we're gonna take our time. We got on the bus, got there. We went to the fan event, and I actually had a lot of fun at the fan event. We got a hand warmer. I got to meet Chris Chelios and get an autograph.
Oh, nice.
We got to watch Gretzky and Savard and Panger. The one thing that we won,
Yeah. Give him Did
me yell?
No.
I totally yelled. Like when Panger said something like, "Oh, and then the Blues, went to the conference final the next year," I yelled like, "Yeah, we did," as loud as I could. I could
But
not get anybody to yell, "Let's go Blues," so it was just awkward and I
it
walked
was
away.
mostly there's like I was actually surprised. So the previous Winter Classic I went to was Boston over at Notre Dame, and you guys represented really well here. Like our section was probably like our whole row was like us and then all Blues fans basically. There was like two Blackhawks fans behind us, and then their whole row was Blues fans as well, and everyone was like super polite. There was really only one incident where it was the goalie interference call. Like a Blues fan was all like, "What the F is this?" And then like a Blackhawks fan started shouting at him. And then like about like 10 minutes later, like the dude's dad was like, "Sorry about that." And so like it was totally Midwestern vibes. It was absolutely amazing.
Sorry, my 12-year-old's dropping that.
But it was a good time. I think for of the two, like I enjoyed the overall, like the Warthogs flying over were badass. That was a lot of fun. I will not disrespect Jim. Jim is like the highlight of Chicago. That's one of those things. Like, I wouldn't go into your house and say Tall Man is a bad person. You don't say
That's
anything
like
bad about Jim.
that's like bashing on Charles Gland, basically.
Jim is just
I
our
only
Chicago thing.
said it because so I'm if you're familiar with the Blues at all, we had Charles Glenn and like I thought Charles Glenn was awesome, and then this new guy that we have I think is really awesome too, and so I just have a specific style. It's not that
Yeah,
no,
man,
I
I
get
think
it.
your opinion would change
Mark
if you heard them at the United Center.
Yeah, like
Okay, I'd like to come watch.
Jim wasn't there by the time, but like my first game was the Chicago Stadium against Detroit because I'm old. And so like,
Same here.
it's Jim has been like United Center, he's the mainstay. He's like one of the things. Like we love to cheer. There's that video of us cheering at Chicago Stadium where it drowns out everything. It's just our Chicago things. But the atmosphere was really awesome. The Blues fans were really, really awesome. Like the family that was next to us, they kept going in and out and buying liquor. And then like every time they'd make us stand up, they'd be like, "Sorry about that," and just like, "All right." So
Please wait for a stop and play. Thank you.
but we had a good time. Like, yeah, the score sucked. The highlight of the game by far was Foligno beating the crap out of Shen,
Yeah,
but
that was a cool fight that they had. Shen was like, "Dude, before I get out of here, I gotta fight somebody. You want to do it?" And he's like, "Yeah."
Then he got his ass kicked.
No, Foligno got that was the highlight. That was, at the end of the game, the Blues fans behind us were rooting for Bedard to get a goal because they just wanted to see Bedard get a goal. I didn't go in
Still.
expecting us to win though. Like you guys got our coach, which we were never going to get, but I'm jealous of Montgomery of you guys getting him. We are still developing, and honestly, I'm just happy that we didn't get shut out.
I was kind of getting nervous because, the Blues went up. The Blues went up 2-0. Kyrou scores. It's 2-0 at that point. And then the Hawks started bringing on the pressure. And I leaned over to my girlfriend after, like, right after we scored our second goal, and I was like, "I'm kind of scared." And she's like. And she's like, she goes, I'm like, she's like, "Why?" I said, "Because a 2-0 lead is the worst lead to have in hockey." And then sure enough, the Blackhawks, they started bringing, the rest of the first period, they started bringing that pressure. And then, they got their first goal. I'm like, "Oh, there it is. That's what I was worried about."
They gave us hope. And then the second period happened and we cried.
Yeah, the Blues back off too much. If they get a lead, they just back off. Everything's
Yeah.
defense.
I mean, I think like I said, it was a good experience. Like, it was definitely a little bit different. I think the rivalry, because there's really not a Boston Chicago rivalry. It's just like, hey, it's original six teams. So that added a new flair to it that was a lot of fun. And yeah, like I had a good time overall. Like it sucked that we got destroyed, but like I enjoyed myself. I wish the game was a little closer, but yeah, it was
Yeah.
good times.
Do you have anything else to add before we go over to Joe?
Yeah, we didn't have troubles getting home either. Like walked to the bus and took the bus back. We just had to wait for the bus and a little bit of traffic. So it was pretty chill and everyone was really nice. I mean, it was a great time.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. So Joe, what was your experience like? You know, you're a big Chicago guy, you're a big Chicago sports fan. Obviously by your Twitter, your X account, or whatever you want to call it. What's your story of going to Wrigley and, you know, hosting for the second time, and especially now against St. Louis? Like, what was something special to you that was like unlike other Hawks games that, you know, before that you've been to?
Yeah, no, and it really is cool to have it be against a rival. I mean, I've been to, I think the Hawks have been in six now outdoor games or seven. I've been to four or five out of the seven. The only one I didn't go to was the 2015 Classic in DC and then the 2019 Classic at Notre Dame. I've been to Minneapolis for that debacle. I was at the Wrigley for this debacle. I was at Wrigley for the debacle against Detroit. So, I mean, the scores haven't been on my side for any of them, but it was still fun. I mean, we got up early, my wife and I, which my wife is a Blues fan, so it's a house divided.
Whoa, I never knew that.
Yeah, so it is a house divided. It was actually funny for our wedding, surprised her with Louis at our wedding. And then I had Tommy Hawk come out right behind him. So like my family was like all shocked when Louis, because he just came in first. And then when Tommy Hawk came out, like all my side started going crazy. It was actually kind of
funny. What the hell?
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah, so she had no idea that I had did it either. And so she was like so happy that like Louis was there. So it was funny. And then after, the morning we left, we got there pretty decently early. We just met up with her cousin was in town from St. Louis as well. And we went to Old Crow right there on Clark Street. So we had a couple drinks there. And then I wanted to get some merch afterwards. So we went and she tried to find a shirt, but really couldn't find anything. Like, she wanted something just like neutral, Blues versus Blackhawks Winter Classic. But I think they were like, a lot of the places we went to Wrigleyville Sports and Clark Street Sports, and they were out of all of them, at least in her size. Then after that, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go to the DraftKings Sportsbook and make it my bets. So, and I was like, you know, I wanted to bet. I was like, should I bet the Blackhawks? I'm like, no, I'm riding. They've been losing. And I said, you know what? At least if the Blackhawks win and I lose money, I'm okay with it. So, but if they lose, at least the Blues will make me money. So I bet $100 on the Blues to win, and then I did a parlay, which was the Blues to win, Kyrou to score, and the Blues team total over 2.5 goals.
Oh my God, that hit hard.
So yeah, so I made some. The Blues made me some money, so it wasn't as devastating. So then we went into the game, and it was pretty easy to get in. We went through Gallagher Way, and
that's where I was at. Yeah,
yeah. So. And it was pretty easy to get in. We went right up through, you know, it was kind of a steep walk. I mean, I haven't been to Wrigley probably in 2 years just because the Cubs haven't been worth going to see for the price that they charge and the record that they've had. So I just, this was like my first time there in a couple years. So, and we had got some food and then went to our seats. And I, like I said, I was in 310L, which in the fourth row, which was really good seats. We were like, kind of like almost just to the right of the net where the Blues shot twice. And then it was, like I said, the rain didn't really bother us because we were covered. So, and I mean, overall, yeah, hearing the Smashing Pumpkins was cool. And, you know, my favorite player of all time is Jeremy Roenick. So seeing him get in the Hall of Fame, and he's the one that got me into hockey and inspired me to play hockey. So I loved seeing him and Savard and Chelios drop the puck. And then, you know, just like I said, I just kind of had a feeling. I was like, we can't win these games. You know, when the Blues went up 2-0, and I was just like, I was like, if we don't get the next goal, then I think the game's over. I mean, we got the next goal, and then I'm like, okay, well, hopefully they ride some momentum into the locker room. But I don't know, for some reason, the second and third periods have just been hell for us, and it turned out to be that way. But overall, like I said, the only negative was probably leaving the stadium was just with that, you know, waiting for the train to go back to our car, because we had parked like kind of more on the south loop part of the city. It was kind of like, it was probably about another 20 minutes on the train, so it wasn't too bad. But the train, it was like you were all pretty much packed in like sardines. But then as the downtown stops came out, like everybody started clearing out. So that was a little better.
But yeah, then the New Year's Eve party started.
Yeah, exactly. So and then we drove home, and it wasn't too bad at all. But like I said, yeah, my wife's from St. Louis, and we go down there quite often, and it's fun to like go when we visit her family and go down, and my in-laws, and they're all Blues fans. So I like, you know, I'll wear my Blackhawks sweater, and you know, they always give me crap, and we've watched a couple of games together. You know, it's always fun. Like we just have fun with it. We don't, you know, I'm not like one to get in everybody's face or whatever. You know, I'll just be like, yeah, if we win, you know, I'm throwing it at them. And if you guys win, which is a lot lately, they're throwing it back at me. And it's just fun. We enjoy it. So.
Joe, back to your bet. There was one that I think one of our radio guys, he made a bet of Blues win. Joey? No, I think it was like 101 ESPN, one of those guys.
Mm.
He bet the Blues won, Kyrou scores, and 5 goals over. He won 10 grand.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I know. That's why I was like, I wanted to bet it bigger, but I'm like, I know because everything I touch usually ends up being cursed. So I went like $100 on each of them, but I ended up winning like $500 or $600 on the day.
That's awesome.
That pretty much paid for my tickets.
They'll keep you warm. Yeah.
So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for my story, had some days off work, so I flew into Chicago, and my girlfriend and I, we woke up at 2:45 in the morning, because like all the other flights were like super full in the day, so the one, of course, the one open flight's like at like 6 a.m. or whatever, so we wake up at like 2:45 in the morning and head to the airport. We get to Chicago at like 9:30 a.m. or something like that. I think we arrived like at 9, we like arrived 30 minutes early, and I basically just, my diet just like plummeted into the earth on this trip. Like all I did was eat was wings and burgers and beer and just like ate like a degenerate. And yeah. And then my company gets like discounts for hotels. So for work. So I was able to find like a cheap hotel, reasonable, close to O'Hare. And they actually had like a free shuttle service to like the Blue Line train station. So anytime I wanted to like head downtown or head out to Wrigley for the game or like the day before, the shuttle would like take us to like that train station. You know, it's like $5 or $10 for like a day pass. And so you just get on that. I mean, it takes like an hour or so to like get all the way from, you know, close to O'Hare to Wrigley, because you got to hop over under the red line at that point once you get downtown. And you know, it takes about an hour, but it's cheap. And it basically saved me a ton of money on, you know, commuting from O'Hare, like the O'Hare area to Wrigley. And then my family on my mom's side, I had two cousins, my aunt and uncle and another aunt and my grandparents. They all came up, and most of my cousin and my aunt and uncle, they had tickets to the game, and my girlfriend obviously as well had tickets with me. And at the last minute, like one of my aunts, she had to like leave last minute for like an emergency. And so she already bought her Winter Classic ticket at that point. She bought it like the day before the game. So she had to resell the ticket, which luckily she sold it to get her money back. And then she had to like hop on a flight back to St. Louis. And then she, that night after like the emergency, her and her husband like drove right back up to Chicago for New Year's Day. So that was super hectic. And then the game itself, it's like, you know, it's kind of funny how like you're in the O'Hare area and there's like nobody on the train. You know, you got your jerseys on and you're kind of slowly make your way down, you know, east to Chicago, and then you hop on the red line, and then right there, bam, there's like, you see like jersey after jersey on at each stop that, you know, they're slowly getting on the train and for the day of the game. And my girlfriend and I, we basically dressed like Randy from A Christmas Story for the game. So we were warm like the entire time, thank goodness, because we were outside like from the, like the whole morning and all evening for the game. And we were like totally dry pretty much the whole time. And then we lucked out, because like we said at the beginning of the podcast, you know, we saw guys in jeans, we saw women in like yoga pants, and we're like, these guys are not gonna, they're not gonna make the cut. So I just,
you had
like,
to prepare though. You knew what to bring, yeah. Because you live in Denver.
Yeah, I live in Denver for right now. I'm actually heading to Houston, you know, next month for work. moving there. But going to the Winter Classic in 22, it's like, if you experienced that, like, this was going to be, this was nothing compared to that. It was like 45 degrees warmer than in 22, which was absolute hell. So I basically just drank tall boys all day and just like stayed buzzed and just kept eating food. And I had my first Chicago style hot dog. And like,
how many baggies out of 10?
I gotta give it like a probably about like a 6 or 7. And then what I didn't think it was like my whole life, I didn't think it was going to be very good, but it was actually like not too bad for, you know, my first Chicago style hot dog. I didn't think it was too bad. If I had to get it again, I would. I did like that like little green pepper that they have. It's like a little bit of a kick, but it's, you know, it's not too much. Thought it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then
four peppers. Yeah. There you
go. Yeah. And then after the game, we walked out and they had, you know, TNT with like Biz Nasty and Wayne Gretzky and, you know, those other TNT guys. They were doing like the post game show right there outside, like home plate. And, like, we, like my aunt and uncle and my girlfriend, like we were all like there, like, you know, on TV for the post game show. So that was pretty cool. And then, so then we just Airbnb, one of my cousins, he like went off to like go hang out with some people. And then my girlfriend and I went back to like my relatives' Airbnb and got a pizza and hung out. And then we took the train back to our hotel. And then we DoorDashed some. And then we only had like maybe like a slice or two. So we really didn't eat much there. So we were still hungry by the time we got back to, you know, because the train takes a while to get back up to like O'Hare and that general area. So we DoorDashed some food. And of course, you know, it's New Year's Eve. So naturally there was like problems with our food. So we didn't eat till like 2 a.m. And so we finally ate, went to bed, and then the fire alarm in our hotel room went off. So we all had to like dip out in like the freezing cold in our pajamas. And then we had all like eventually go back in the lobby. And then, you know, everybody and their brothers like in their PJs looking their worst, you know.
At least people had clothes on.
At like 4:30 in the morning. And then we finally had to like get back up early again to fly back. But it was, yeah, it was a fun event. Like, I went to the Winter Classic in 17. I went in 22, and then obviously I went this year. And overall, like, it was, you know, it's just, I was just happy to be there this time and come home with the win. But it was definitely pretty eventful, and it went by quick, but it was a lot of fun, and I did everything I could to make the most of it, really.
Yeah, I watched it on TV, so I obviously had a different experience than all of you guys, except for I was warmer since I was in Florida. But the way they broadcasted it was kind of weird. I guess it was through Amazon, like some AWS company, whatever. It's like, it's
was
new.
It wasn't on TNT.
It should have been on TNT.
They were sharing it because I guess like something like the Amazon thing is a cloud service. What?
Are you sure it wasn't Max? Like the streaming Max, because that was the only other one that I thought, because TNT and Max, they'll co-stream those games.
Yeah, it wasn't Max. It was a brand new thing through Amazon that they were trying out. They said it was like the first time they were trying it.
Weird.
On the Winter Classic.
Yeah, why
and
try it then?
It was awful, though. Like, they had their own reporters, so you didn't even get to see, like, TNT people talk. But then it would flip back to TNT. And then also, like, the way the game was projected on the TV was not great. I don't, like, the camera angles of the game were awful. And then they had, like, at the bottom of the screen, they had the players' faces, like, when they were going on and off the ice, and it was, like, flipping, like, dice. So more people were, like, mesmerized with the bottom of the screen than the actual game, from, like, what I had read. And I was like, they're doing too much. There's too much on the screen. It was like all the way on the bottom, all the way on the right, and then the left, top left of the TV was the game. And it was not broadcasted very good.
That's freaky.
But
that is weird.
It was weird.
But that's my reward if I get all my to-do list done by this weekend, is I'll get to watch the game again. But I don't know if I want to.
Well, we recorded on TNT, so it might be a different experience from what Maggie experienced, because that just seems really weird.
That's true.
It was weird. Like, we were watching it at the house, and they were like, why is it like this? Because we watch hockey all the time. And I was I guess this is just Winter Classic.
Well, so it was on two channels on TNT. It was on TNT and then a separate TNT channel, which was the StatCast, which is what you watched.
StatCast.
Yeah, so I record all Blues games, and so my TV recorded two channels. So I think you just were on the wrong channel, I think.
Well, that was the only one that came up on Hulu.
Because I did the same thing when I went to watch the replay. I clicked on the StatCast one, and I'm like, this is an awful experience. With the I saw those boxes at the bottom. It was terrible. But I switched over to the real one.
I have Hulu, too, and I recorded just the regular TNT broadcast, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I also have had issues like with Hulu in Florida, seeing games and stuff, so I don't know if that was just like it wasn't available. I don't know.
I'm always down to blame Florida, so.
I'm always down to blame Florida, too. I just moved there because it's warm. That's the only reason.
So why do the Blackhawks keep losing all these outdoor games? Like, if you have different generations of players, different generations of management. It's like, how do you guys keep losing all these outdoor games?
I don't know. If I had the answer to that, Sam, I'd be on a yacht somewhere.
We'll always have...
He'd be in Florida.
We'll always have our win against Pittsburgh at Soldier Field.
Right.
Who would you all want for, like, next year's Winter Classic?
Not us.
Yeah, anyone but us.
Like, honestly, it's become a joke. Like, we don't want more Winter Classics. Like, I understand that, like, we drive. I feel like this was a knee-jerk reaction to Seattle and Vegas having such low ratings.
Maybe, yeah. Please, Gary, make the pain stop.
But, right. Yeah, I'm done with it, especially
because... Well, I love seeing, like, all the fans on social media, like, stop putting the Blackhawks in the way. Like, okay, well, we lose. Mm-hmm. So are you guys happy that we're in them? Because you could lose.
It was,
guaranteed,
you know?
What?
Yeah. It was even worse this year, though, because we didn't even have, like, half a team. Like, we have Bedard and Vlasic. Like, that's our team. Like, Mrazek hasn't been the same since he got back from his injury, so it's like...
Hey, don't disrespect Pat Maroon like that, okay?
I love Pat Maroon. Give him a lifetime guy. I love that guy.
I love him because he's really easy to watch on the ice because he moves so slow.
You can follow him well.
Honey, I loved his quote when he said, like, you know, well, you guys could come to the game, but you can't root for the Blues.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, that's awesome. So,
Fat Pat.
Fat Patty, but I'm effective.
I love him. I miss him.
He's a good guy, though. Like, I mean, like, again, I watched the Hawks this season with, I'm happy if Bedard scores. That's all I really want from games. I don't even care if we win anymore at this point because we're still knee-deep in rebuild. And I think sometimes Chicago fans have these unrealistic expectations because we have Taylor Hall and Tavo and, like, all these, like, you know, people Bertuzzi. That are slightly past their prime.
Yeah, right now you guys got a 3-game homestead coming up. Tomorrow you got, like, the Canadiens. And on the 5th you got the Rangers. And on the 8th, you got the Avs.
Oh. I'm getting ads for $25 tickets to ring in 2025 because people aren't buying tickets. I know when people aren't buying tickets because my best friend is a veteran and he's on VetTix, so they get, like, free tickets. So if they're not selling, they'll come up on VetTix and then he'll be like, you want to go see the Hawks? And I'll be like, all right.
Yeah, I signed up for the Student Rush. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with it, Chris. Like, they'll send you, like, a link for Student Rush tickets, which is basically, like, you could enter in. And I enter in my old college email address, which I still remember it. And it brings it right up, and I could get tickets, like, 2 tickets for, like, $50.
That's
up
what they do, right?
Level. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good cheat code right there.
Right, right. So I've gone to, like, a couple games using that, and nobody says nothing, so I'm not saying nothing.
I mean,
yeah, the Blackhawks just want you there.
You're probably overpaying anyway.
Right.
We're not doing anything to help the team. Damn it, you better show up.
I mean, so my feelings are is that getting rid of Richardson was a good move to help the team because he was more worried about trying to win than developing the young players and letting Bedard be Bedard. Like, Bedard's been scoring points ever since Richardson was fired. But we're not going to be a winning team, so I don't know why people are so upset. Like, we've got, like, at least 2 to 3 years before, like, we should be doing something.
Right. And I think, they just need somebody else. They need a, you know, hopefully they can maybe go out and get Mitch Marner. They can go out and get Mikko Rantanen. Those are both big UFAs this year. I mean, they have the cap space to spend. I hope they do it. Because it's just, you know, when I was looking at the statistics, like, this is not a rivalry with the Blues. The Blues are 14, I think I saw 14-2-1 in their last 17 against the Blackhawks. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, it's unacceptable.
I mean
for a you know.
The Blues are all we have, because ever since they moved Detroit out of the Central, like, I don't view that as a rivalry at all anymore. I'm just like, it's Detroit. They got Patrick Kane. That kind of sucks, but whatever. The Blues, don't take the Blues away from us. I don't care if it's a bullying situation right now. At least give us a little bit of rivalry.
How many prospects do you guys have at the World Juniors?
If we would have lost the Winter Classic in overtime or like a one-goal game, that's fine. But it's like the Blues, they've blown us out pretty much like the last however many times we've played them.
The thing is I was talking with the Blues fan behind me about it, and he said something that's true. It's like, we had 3 cups in 5 years. Like, most teams would give 10 years of suckage to have 3 cups in 5 years. So, like, we're spoiled. I know that we're spoiled. You know, we've got hockey privilege. Don't get me wrong. But, like, you got to give it time. You know, we're going to suck for a while, and it's okay. It's okay to be bad.
You know, that's going to happen. You know, when you throw everything at those 3 cups or whatever, it's like, you know, eventually the apple's going to fall off the tree.
When you signed Seth Jones for 30 years at $20 million a year.
Yeah, that was an interesting signing.
It was like Bowman giving us the finger before he got fired and shunned until the Oilers were like, hey, this guy hid sexual misconduct. Let's hire him as our GM.
Does anybody have anything else before we hop out of here?
I was going to say, for next year's Winter Classic, I think it'd be cool. I don't know if they've done this. I don't know anything about Winter Classics, but I thought it'd be cool if they did like Rangers and Islanders at Central Park.
That'd be pretty cool. That'd if they kind of cool. could get that going somehow. That'd be fun.
I would love to have Tampa versus Florida. Like, I think they have a fun little like Sunshine State rivalry. And I think just the fact that hockey's blown up in the South, that if they can get the logistics to make it work down there, it'd be a lot of fun to see that happen. Like, you know.
And especially in the wintertime, it's like people will be more inclined to be like, oh, a warm spot for like a warmer spot for like the Winter Classic. Like, let's freaking do it, man. Let's go.
I don't think it will work, though, because the one in Lake Tahoe a couple of years ago, the ice was melting, like, and they were having issues skating on it. So I don't know that we could actually see one.
It'd be hard, but it'd definitely be interesting. Oh. But at least like we got to shake it up a little bit, like get like, you know, obviously they want teams with like high markets and stuff like that, but try and find, you know, after these, you know, same 4 to 6 teams that you've been using in the last 10 years, like maybe try and shake it up a little bit.
It'd be fun to have a Canadian one, but they'll only do the Heritage Classic in Canada because just the audience is mostly American now.
What do you guys think about them going overseas though? Because, you know, like baseball did it, football did it, you know, would they do that?
Then they have games in China or was it like a global series thing?
I mean, they had a couple games in something.
But I just, you know, I'm like, they went and played baseball in England. They went and played football, you know, like
during the preseason, they usually pick, I think, 4 teams to go over and they'll end their preseason in like, I think it was like Switzerland or something. And then they will start their season there. So it's called the Global Series. And they have it every year. So, like, I think they start maybe, like, a week before we actually start. I think they play 2 or 3 NHL games before, like, the Blues, Blackhawks, anyone starts because they're over there, like, getting used to time and stuff like that. But, yeah, they do that in the beginning of the season, normally every year.
Like, I'm not against it. I just don't know if they'll actually do it because the money. Winter Classic is really about them generating more interest and money in it. The problem is from, I didn't look deeply into it, but I saw a Reddit post that this year's ratings weren't that great either compared to like previous ones. And I don't know if they're just oversaturating the market.
I think it's because also, why was the game on New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
It's all the college football games that were happening like on January 1st. Yeah.
Yeah. But there was also 15 other NHL games. Yeah. Like, that should have been the only game.
It's like, you guys set yourself, like, for, like, ratings and stuff like that. It's like, you already set yourself up for failure with that.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what it was, because, like, what, yesterday was New Year's Day? I have all my dates mixed up right now. But there was one game, and it was the Kings-Devils. And that was the only game.
Yeah,
they could have literally played the Winter Classic yesterday.
I mean, Honestly, I had a great time. Thought, you know, despite my love to hate you guys, every single Blues fan I met was absolutely polite and awesome as hell. So, like,
that's awesome.
It was just a really good time. And it definitely makes me, like, I was supposed to go down when it was in St. Louis, but I had a personal issue happen. But I still have yet to go to the Enterprise. So I'd like to get down there to see a game just because.
It is a cool place to see a game. I've been to a number of games in Enterprise, Hawks, Blues games, and it's really cool.
It's a good vibe.
Start driving tomorrow morning, and I got a ticket waiting for you, 311 row B. You're welcome to come tomorrow night.
I'll be there tomorrow too.
I appreciate it, but I've got a lot.
But yeah, and I noticed too, Blackhawks, I think the Blues do not come back to Chicago this year. That their only visit to Chicago was to Wrigley Field. The last, we only play you guys three times, and the last two times are at Enterprise Center.
Yeah.
Why do we play? I thought we played four times. Like, I don't. Why do we only play three?
Because we have Utah in our division now.
Oh, okay. Okay. So
I know. Isn't that lame?
Yeah, Arizona Coyotes. They deserve better.
So I think that should pretty much do it for, this episode. You know, we've, you know, been talking for a good hour. So I think we've all, you know, had some pretty awesome stories. You know, I want to thank you all again for, you know, taking the time to come out and, you know, talk with us. We appreciate it so much, especially, you know, you guys in Chicago, being able to, you know, join a, you know, a rival podcast.
I mean,
yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Chris.
It's always been great, Sam, just because, like, what? We've been internet friends now for, what, like 5-6 years?
Yeah, quite a while.
At NHL Facebook group. And, like, you're a good dude. So, like, this was a lot of fun. And, you know, Karen, Matt.
Yeah, agreed. Maggie, I hope we can meet up at a future Blues Black.
Yeah, I know. I was, like, talking with you guys about meeting up. And then my family, like, they were on the fence to, like, come up for like the Winter Classic game, and I wasn't for sure about what they were doing until like the last minute, and then they were coming up, and I'm like, oh well, I gotta go see you guys then. So that's why I wasn't able to fully meet up at that point.
We ended up doing the fan fest, and then we ended up going to Small Chevelle and waiting for like an hour to get food and eat, and then that was our warm up, and then by the time we got in, it was like, you know, right before pregame, so it just didn't work out. It was kind of a little bit of chaos.
Yeah, totally understandable. Yeah. But, you know, thank you, Karen. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Joe. Thank you all for coming on so much. So, you know, if you got family and friends that are, you know, Blues fans or whatever, you know, go ahead and, you know, spread the word about, you know, you coming on. And, you know, if they've never been to a Winter Classic, you know, tell them about the show. Say, like, you know, this is my experience. This was other people's experiences. And we just, you know, sit down and chill out and talk hockey.
Let's do it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, thank you so much for listening. And, you know, don't hesitate to stop by again to eat, relax, and take a load off of life. And until the ice is clean again, we'll see you all very soon. Section 314, your favorite online tailgate.